Paul's second letter to Timothy, chapter 2, beginning at verse 1. You then, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things you've heard me say in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to reliable people who will also be qualified to teach others. Join with me in suffering like a good soldier of Christ Jesus. No one serving as a soldier gets entangled in civilian affairs, but rather tries to please his commanding officer. Similarly, anyone who competes as an athlete does not receive the victor's crown, except by competing according to the rules. The hard-working farmer should be the first to receive a share of the crops. Reflect on what I'm saying, for the Lord will give you insight into all this. Remember Jesus Christ, raised from the dead, descended from David. This is my gospel, for which I am suffering even to the point of being chained like a criminal. But God's word is not chained. Therefore, I endure everything for the sake of the elect, that they too may obtain the salvation that is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. Here is a trustworthy saying. If we died with him, we will also live with him. If we endure, we will also reign with him. If we disown him, he will also disown us. If we are faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot disown himself.
Thanks very much, Piers. On your back of your service sheet, you should be able to find a sermon outline. Please do use that to help you. Now, imagine you're about to embark on climbing Mount Everest. Now, you'd probably be feeling pretty nervous about that, but maybe perhaps a bit of excitement as well. But you're aware that you'll have an instructor, Wilkie. I don't think he's here today, but Wilkie. Wilkie's there to help you, to pass all his knowledge about Mount Everest on to you. Now you start the climb and you reach your first little difficult climb to come across, and your feet are painful, your toes are freezing, your muscles are aching because of the oxygen. But Wilkie reminds you to endure it, to remain strong. Well, you get to the top of the first climb and you're thinking of giving up. Enduring this suffering is almost unbearable. But Wilkie turns to you and says that the view at the top is totally glorious. Don't give up, or you'll never see it. Now, in this passage today, there is a similar situation. Timothy is not climbing Mount Everest, but there would be the temptation for him to give up on his ministry. Now, this passage is aimed for those who are trusting Jesus. Now, this might not be you here today. Well, please don't switch off, because what you'll see will give you a glimpse of what the Christian life is like. So let's jump into the passage. What we've seen last week, Paul is in chains, and he is seeing this landslide of Christian ministers departing from his side. We read in chapter 1 that Phygellus and Hermogenes have deserted him, and many more. These people have become ashamed of Jesus and are no longer preaching the gospel. So as Paul witnesses this going on around him, he turns to Timothy, a young man who's followed him closely, who's witnessed his ministry. And now Timothy's engaging in his own ministry in Ephesus. And whilst there is this movement to desert the gospel, Paul makes two pleas to Timothy. And the first is this: be strong and endure suffering. Be strong and endure suffering. We've seen this desertion is occurring. People are becoming ashamed of the gospel. But Paul, at the end of chapter 1, flags up Onesiphorus, a man who stood by Paul and continued to preach the gospel, a man who didn't go with the flow, but resisted it. And in light of this, Paul says to Timothy in verse 1, look down, you then, my son, be strong. Timothy needs to be strong like Onesiphorus. He needs to remain by Paul's side, to not desert him, but remain strong. Now, if I was Timothy here, I'd probably start flexing my muscles, start looking within myself to psych myself up for the battle that it's about to come. But how does Paul say Timothy should be strong? Well, he continues, be strong in the grace of Christ Jesus. He says to Timothy, in this desertion that is occurring, stay strong not in your own strength, but look to the grace of our Lord Jesus. Look to all that he has achieved for you and use that to compel you to remain strong. And as he strengthens himself in Christ, Paul sets out what he would like Timothy to do. And the first we see is this. He wants Timothy to pass on the truth. Look down to verse 2. And the things you have heard me say in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to reliable men who will also be qualified to teach others. Paul wants Timothy to teach others who will then go on to teach others. Paul wants Timothy to look for teachers, teachers that are reliable and qualified. Now, you might be thinking, what do qualified teachers look like? Well, I think it's all that Paul has previously mentioned in chapter 1 also. These teachers must not be ashamed of Christ and continue to preach Christ despite this conflict and the suffering they will inevitably face. He doesn't want teachers like Phygellus and Hermogenes. He wants teachers like one Sipphorus. So as Timothy leads this church in Ephesus, he needs to train and equip leaders, teachers who will carry on preaching the gospel. Now, just as this is a priority for Timothy then, it is a priority for ministers to be doing that now. Piers and Andy should be spending time looking for future leaders and then training them. Now, having dipped my toe into ministry, I know there are many, many things that ministers could be doing. But a priority for them should be equipping future leaders so that the gospel is passed on. So as they do this, pray that they would not be distracted by other things, but would prioritize this area of ministry. But also, for all of us sat here today, passing on the gospel is crucial. But to do that, we need reliable teachers. So as we gather here, I want to plant a seed of thought in your mind. Should you be considering full-time gospel ministry? Now, if that's something you're thinking about, or prompted something in your mind, well, do grab Piers or myself after. We'd love to chat about it more with you. So Timothy is to look to equip and train future leaders for the safeguarding of the gospel, but Paul also wants him to not be deterred, And we see this in verses 3-7. So as we've been seeing, people are deserting the gospel. And Timothy would feel under increasing pressure to give up on it also. Paul has stated that suffering for the gospel is inevitable for those who preach Christ. This has been Paul's experience. And he said to Timothy that this will be your experience too if you stand firm. In chapter 1, a couple of weeks ago, we saw that Paul calls Timothy to join him in this suffering. And we see this again in chapter 2. Look down to verse 3. Paul asks Timothy to join with me in suffering. Paul wants him to join him. And he asks him to do it by enduring. He wants to endure the suffering. And as he does that, Paul helpfully gives Timothy three pictures to illustrate how this endurance will look. And the first of these pictures is that of a soldier. A soldier who will not get involved in civilian affairs, but rather serve as officer. Now, it'd be ridiculous in our eyes if a commissioned soldier who's going on tour decided that instead of fighting, they would join the Afghan Lawn Bowls Association or club. Or in fact, they just started heading to the pub with the local civilians. It would totally distract the soldier. They're there to fight and to serve their commanding officer. And Timothy's ministry should not be filled with distractions. He should avoid worldly affairs. His goal should be to battle for Christ and serve the Lord. The temptation around Timothy would be to uproot and to fill his ministry with loads of distractions. But Paul wants him to endure like a soldier, purely serving his master. Paul then continues with two other pictures, an athlete. Timothy must not cheat. He needs to play within the rules. He must not cheat the gospel by twisting it or making it more palatable. The temptation might be for Timothy to leave out sin or judgment. But if he does this, there will be no crown. And he's to be like a hard-working farmer. Timothy could be tempted to become lazy. But he must persist like a farmer. He must work hard. And as he works hard, a great crop will be his reward. So as Timothy suffers, Paul wants him to reflect on these things, to reflect on them with the help from the Lord. He needs to remind himself that he needs to endure like a soldier, athlete, and a farmer, so that the gospel is protected. And this is probably another qualification for those teachers Timothy should be looking for. They should be willing to endure suffering. So please do pray for Piers and Andy as they lead our churches. Standing firm in the gospel will bring about suffering for them. But pray that they would endure and that they would live holy lives, that they would not be distracted by worldly affairs, but concentrate on the battle ahead of them. Pray that they would not cheat anyone of the gospel, but would show integrity. And pray that they would work hard, striving to proclaim the gospel. Now, there's a real need for this across the world, globally, for church leaders at the moment. This last week, there was a large gathering of Anglican ministers in Jerusalem. We prayed for it last week, the GAFCON conference. And the gathering of ministers there are people who are striving to join in the suffering, to be strong and endure. But these ministers are, in fact, in the minority in the Anglican community. A landslide is occurring now, just like them. There are church leaders around the world who are ashamed of Christ, who are cheating people with the gospel so it is more attractive. Can I urge you to pray for them also? We need gospel ministers who are willing to suffer. But Paul's plea to Timothy is also for all believers. Jesus commanded all people to go to all nations. So when we share the gospel, we will face suffering. And when that suffering comes, Paul tells us to remain strong in grace, not to let distractions get in our way, to not cheat the gospel to make it more attractive, and to keep working like a hard-working farmer. Now, if you're anything like me, there might be the temptation when chatting to friends to remove parts of the gospel, which I know will bring about suffering. Perhaps I'll avoid talking about sin or judgment, or perhaps the topic of homosexual marriage. I'm willing to engage on these things because we know that it will involve suffering if we stand firm in the gospel. Well, friends, just like Timothy's day, people are departing. Are we willing to endure and be strong and to pass the gospel message on? It will be costly and it will be hard, but let's look to endure. And as we do that, Paul gives Timothy another plea, a plea which will help him to endure. He needs to, secondly, remember. Remember. And there are a number of things that he probably wants him to remember. And the first is this: Timothy, remember Christ's suffering has led to your salvation. Timothy, remember Christ's suffering has led to your salvation. Look down to verse 8. Remember Jesus Christ, raised from the dead, descended from David. This is my gospel. What about Jesus does Paul want Timothy to remember? Well, he uses two phrases: raised from the dead and descended from David. They've been used very deliberately by Paul. Firstly, let's take descended from David. This highlights Jesus' ancestral line. He's the long-awaited promised king. He arrived as a baby in a manger, but is the divine king who ruled perfectly. But he was also raised from the dead. For Jesus to come back to life, he had to die. He died at the hands of suffering so he could take our sin. And when he suffered, he endured it. He endured it for us so that we would not have to face God's anger. Paul is saying to Timothy, remember Jesus. Remember who he is. Remember what he has done. Paul states that this is his gospel, his good news, but it is also Timothy's good news. And when suffering comes for Timothy, Paul wants him to endure by remembering Jesus' suffering. Now, you probably would have thought that this would have been very obvious to Timothy, but it clearly shows us that remembering Jesus is vital in being able to endure. A full-time gospel minister here, Timothy, is told to remember Jesus. And that is true for those today in gospel ministry. For gospel workers to endure, they need to remember Jesus, to remember him, his character and nature, but also that he is alive today because he died for you. It is good news. So today, maybe you're here, you're struggling to keep going because perhaps you've got a bit bored of Jesus. You've heard the gospel hundreds of times and you can just recite it willy-nilly with no problems at all. Well, go back to him. Look at Jesus. Look at his character. Now, the Matt Searles evenings have been really good at encouraging us to do that, to not only look at what he's achieved, which is so glorious, but also to look at him, to look at his character, to get to know him better. We cannot have enough of Jesus. Remember him. But Paul gives another reason to Timothy why it is worth enduring. It is worth it because suffering for Jesus will lead to the salvation of others. Suffering for Jesus will lead to the salvation of others. Look down to verse 10. This is my gospel for which I am suffering, even to the point of being chained like a criminal. But God's word is not chained. Therefore, I endure everything for the sake of the elect, that they too may obtain the salvation that is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. Paul is in prison. He's there because he's preached Christ. But he knows that without preaching Christ, others would have not heard the gospel. And as he sits there in prison, he knows that his suffering has led to others being saved. And the reason for this is because nothing can stop God's word. Suffering for him will not stop God from saving people. So as Timothy endures this suffering, Paul is saying, look at me. I'm in prison, chained, suffering for Christ. But I know that my suffering for him has meant that others could hear and receive the gospel, because nothing can stop God's word. Friends, isn't that a huge encouragement for us today? When we mention the gospel to our colleagues and family and receive flack for it, God will work. They cannot chain his work. We do need to share the gospel so that they can hear it. But when you suffer for it, there'll be some that receive salvation because you are willing to suffer. If you want evidence for that today, look at the church in China. Christians there face fierce persecution and suffering. In 1949, there were 4 million Christians there. Today, there are 97 million Christians. There are people there willing to suffer for Christ. And as they did that each day, people were receiving salvation. And this is the global trend. Where you see people suffering for the gospel, you also see gospel growth. So Paul says to Timothy, suffering like me and sharing the gospel will lead to salvation for others. Keep enduring. Paul gives one final thing he wants Timothy to remember, and that is, our suffering will lead to future glory. Our suffering will lead to future glory. Look down to verse 11. Here is a trustworthy saying. If we died with him, we will also live with him. If we endure, we will also reign with him. Now, these concluding three verses that we see here are probably a creed or a song that would have been sung. They've probably been pretty well known to Timothy at the time. But Paul wants to remind him that enduring suffering is totally, totally worth it. He's saying to Timothy, as Christ hung and died, he died the death you should have. And because he did that, you can live. But Timothy also, if you endure, you can know that one day you'll reign with Jesus. You'll be with him in eternity. And you'll have a share in the inheritance because you'll reign with Christ. Paul lifts Timothy's eyes away from the present suffering and desertion that is occurring beside him. And he reminds him of what is on the horizon. His endurance will lead to this. Like an athlete receiving a crown for competing, like a hard-working farmer receiving his crop, if Timothy endures as a minister of the gospel, he can know it's utterly worth it. He will one day live and reign with Jesus. Do we share the same lens as Paul here? Many of us might be suffering right now for the gospel. But where do we look? Do we look down and let our head drop? Or do we lift our head up and remind ourselves that this is our glorious future? Later we'll sing these words. We rest on thee, our shield and our defender. Thine is the battle, thine shall be the praise. When passing through the gates of pearly splendor, victors we rest with thee through endless days. Friends, in the midst of enduring for Christ, remind yourself of what Christ has achieved. We'll one day walk through the gates of pearly splendor. We will see Jesus and we will reign with him. Doesn't this picture want to make you endure now? This trustworthy message includes one final warning and encouragement to Timothy. He reminds him that disowning Christ will lead to being disowned. Because God is faithful and will disown you if you disown him. But it could also be seen as an encouragement to Timothy. Remember, Timothy, that those who depart from the gospel and cause your suffering, they will one day face justice. They will be disowned. So as I conclude, in many ways, the Christian life is like embarking on climbing Mount Everest. We'll be tempted to give up. Suffering for the gospel will be inevitable. But as we make this journey, remember to look back. Look at what Christ has achieved for you. Look beside you. There are people on the same journey, and some of them are there because you're willing to suffer so that they could hear the gospel and receive it for themselves. And look forward. There is a glorious, glorious moment ahead. We will reach the summit, and at this summit, we will live with Christ and reign with him forever. Keep enduring. Let me pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this letter. Thank you that as we saw back then, as people had departed from the gospel, we thank you for Paul's example to us in the way he remained strong, that he endured the suffering so that others could know salvation. We pray, Lord, that you would do that work in our hearts also. We pray that you would raise gospel ministers who are willing to endure, who are qualified and reliable. And we pray, Lord, that we would be a church that is willing to endure suffering for your name's sake, to bring you glory. Lord, how we long for that day where we will live and reign with you. Please help us to keep our eyes fixed on that. In Jesus' name, amen.